But it's time to start with an interview. With pre-season starting for another handful of AFL clubs today, it's that time of the year when footy fans want to know who's thriving and who's diving. Who has been the biggest off-season recruit for their club? With the likes of Dylan Scheel, Lachie Neal and Dane Beams all finding new homes, it's a non-player who has now been consistently referred to as the biggest pickup of the trade period. It's hard to remember a time when high performance has been more sought after, not just in football, but universally in sport. And we've seen that in recent days with Cricket Australia on the lookout for a new one following the departure of Pat Howard. Well, the man on the other end of the phone is the man who stood by Alistair Clarkson's side for a decade and was Hawthorn's secret weapon through a period of resounding and record-breaking success. He can be personally acknowledged and thanked for fixing the likes of Sean Burgoyne and Jager O'Meara. That's just to name a few. And now he's a Blue. Andrew Russell, welcome to Time On.
Hey, Sam, how are you going?
I'm really good. Why Carlton, Andrew?
That's a good question. Timing's everything in life.
Yep.
Look, you know, it was pretty clear. I was starting to think about what might have been next for me in my journey in life, in my career, and so I started to change a little bit at Hawthorn what I was doing. Luke Boyd and Sean Murphy were starting to do a lot more in the conditioning space. I was sort of starting to pull back a bit and do more in the leadership space at the club, and so I was sort of starting to transition out of that. Specific physical preparation area, and then just at that time there was a lot of changes in my life. My wife became CEO of Swimming Australia, and so we were going to change where we lived, and my kids were changing schools, and there was a whole lot of change in my life, and I just felt like it was a great time to explore a different option. Carlton came along. Timing is everything. Just when I was starting to think about what it might be, and they got me excited about the challenge that lay ahead with the Blues.
How did the Hawks take it?
Oh, look, they were very, very good to me. They were shocked, Clarko was shocked because I hadn't really alluded to him that this may have been my thinking. There were others at the club in the medical and conditioning area that sort of knew of my intention in the next 12 months. But, Reeves here was excellent. Graham Wright was excellent. Clarko was really accepting of it. And Jeff Kennett was great to me. All those guys were very, very good. And so I can't speak more highly of how they took it. I had a year to go, so technically they could have said, no, Stuffy, you're staying. But at a human level and the time we spent together over the last 14 years for majority of us, they said, we may not like it, but we understand. And we appreciate what you've been part of and move on to in the next chapter.
We'll talk about your new club in depth in just a second. But firstly, Andrew, I just wanted to ask you one in depth about the Hawks. You were part of such a successful regime there for 14 years, as you just alluded to. Can I ask you about 2015 and the premiership campaign there? I feel like the story of that premiership has been somewhat undersold, particularly from your point of view.
Well, obviously winning the third in a row is a huge challenge and doesn't happen very often. But that year was quite challenging motivationally wise for the group. And it was, and as you have more success, it's like a drug addict, you need a bigger hit to keep yourself up. So they, were having to find a lot of ways to motivate them and keep them up. And then the last 7 weeks, we travelled to Perth 3 times in the last 7 weeks.
Mm.
We played West Coast in the first final. We got beaten by 32 points. It was like we got beaten by 132 points. We came back, we played them on a Friday. On the Monday at the club, I've never seen a group so despondent and so psychologically shaken in a group that is an elite group of players. I can't, they're in such a bad way psychologically And then to get up to play, you know, 5 days later against Adelaide, and in my view, I think it's the best quarter I've ever seen them play. We're up 38 points at quarter time against Adelaide. And just ferocious. Absolutely ruthless the way that they played. And then to bounce out of that, have to go back, you know, go back to Perth, you know, play in a really hostile environment against Fremantle, and then come out 32 degree day and play the way that they did against West Coast.
Mm.
That block of 4 weeks, you know, that's a huge amount of strain, you know, to play, you know, twice in 3 weeks in Perth. So it made me believe the old Perth trip, if you get the players' minds right, you get their sleeping habits and their diet and all the really basic fundamentals right, that the old coming back from Perth is probably the most overrated thing in football, that you can't play well coming back from there and coming back on the red eye and all that sort of stuff. You just got to commit to it.
You just mentioned then in your answer, you once mentioned psychology and then just at the end talked about the mind. How big a role, how big a part of your role is the psychology for a player?
Oh, I think it's probably 80 to 90% of it.
Wow.
And really, it's so you're working on individual level, but you're working on the psychology of the group the whole time, you know, with you got key people, obviously you got the coach, the footy manager, you know, you got the doctor, you got the physio, the physios, and you've got people like, you know, Andrew Lambert, Michael Medici, the doctor, you know, Righty. That collective decision making was an absolute strength of Hawthorn. And, you know, you to be able to read the group and then act on it. I mean, a lot of people know where the group's at, but it's actually acting on it right then and there in that training session at that moment to make a change that's really important. Yeah, so it's, you know, the mind, and then so that's the collective. You've got the collective mind of the group, and then you've got the individual minds within that group. So you're managing 45, and that's very, very hard to do. There's lots of different voices in the footy club these days. You got how many coaches and so many support staff, and it's hard to know who the players should listen to half the time. And I think that's one thing that Hawthorn did particularly well, is that they had very strong relationships with the players, and they had trust in the people around them, and they knew, you know, you had your best interest at heart. So tough decisions were made, and tough decisions were made in the best interest for the players. They're the most important people, you know, obviously in any football club.
8 minutes past six, Sam McClure on Time On, being joined by Carlton's new head of high performance in Andrew Russell. Andrew, what's your brief at Carlton? You're the head of high performance, which will glaze over a lot of our listeners. What are your day-to-day tasks? What have you been brought to the club to achieve?
Yeah, it is interesting. Most people don't know really what you do. Maybe I'll take you through my day-to-day.
Let's do that.
Day to day, what I did today.
Yep.
To give you an idea. So you pretty much, you know, get there in the morning, 7 o'clock. You set the training in terms of the, you know, we're out on the track for 2 hours today. So how long do we train? How far do we run? What intensity do we run at? What types of drills do we suggest to the players do within that training session? You know, then after that, I talk to the coach about the training plan. Then I talk to individual players about how they fit into that training plan today, which drill they're doing, which drill they're not doing. You know, you liaise with the medical guys. So you go in and talk to the physios and doctors. The players come in and do a, you know, a full screening of where they're at, both physically and psychologically. So you get a feel for both the whole group and individuals within that group. So that's sort of, you know, an hour and a half of all that sort of information. And then you go out and train for 2 hours. So within the training session, you're working on, you know, players coming in and out of drills, you're watching the players, you're seeing are they overworking, are they underworking, you're giving them feedback, do they look like they're struggling, the guys that lacked sleep last night, you know, are they actually struggling for energy, do you let them train the full session, do you change it, you're liaising with the coaches the whole time about the numbers of players in certain drills, any modifications that need to be made to the drills, are you achieving what you want to, you're talking to the load guys on the side, that have got all the information about, you know, heart rates and intensities. So does it match the plan? You know, you're looking at rehab players, what they're doing, liaising with all the physios. And then we did a conditioning block today at the end, which ran the conditioning block. So there's, you know, there's 2 hours from 9 to 11. Then the players come off. Then you might meet with players and meet with three or four players one-on-one? Are they happy where they're at? Are you happy where they're at? Do they need to do more or less? What's their body composition like? What's the plan over the next 2 or 3 weeks? All these types of issues. Met with Bolts, challenged me on a few things about the program and about individuals within the program. He's just back in today after being away overseas, so he was trying to come up to speed with what's been happening. I then planned a lecture that I was going to present to the players on Wednesday, the academy players, about skill and how to develop skill and the role of the mind in skill development. Talked to the medical guys on the list, where are we at, any new injuries, any long-term plan guys that we need to structure their programs, change their programs, analyse the loads for the day, did we achieve our goals, did we not, start planning tomorrow, do we need to do more or less? I mean, it's constantly changing. You know, every day you start the week with a plan, and then that can get thrown out completely. Either they handle the session unbelievably well and they can do more, or you might have had 3 or 4 major issues in the session and you need to completely modify the whole rest of the week. And then met with the coaches before I left and gave them a list update. We reflected on the training session. Did we get what we wanted out of the drills? What are we going to do next time? And then on our way. So that's pretty much, that's a day. I mean, for us, the medical and conditioning guys, our game day is an pre-season training session is really our game day.
I was about to say, so Andrew, it was a pretty quiet day.
Yeah, well, that's a normal day for anyone in footy, really, in my role. It's a lot of the high-performance roles are you're a middleman between the players, the coaches, the medical guys, the physios. You're sort of just trying to pull the whole thing together. Even basic things in a football club are making sure things are on time. You know, the strength sessions are starting on time. Does that throw all the physio out? Mm. It's a real jigsaw puzzle a day in the life of an AFL player, because you got 45 players. That's a lot of players to manage day to day. Seems easy, but you know they've all got very individual needs, and the program is outside of that 2 hours on the training track is extremely individualised these days at every club.
And following on from that, Andrew, how much responsibility do players need to take for their own fitness?
Oh, they need to take a huge responsibility for it, and really, you know, you have to be almost prepared for them to fail, for them to succeed. They have to make mistakes. They have to challenge themselves. They have to play around with different ways of doing it until they work out what's the best way for them. You know, we have a whole lot of things in our kit bag that we can pass on to the players, but we don't know whether it's the right way for that player. There's a lot of different ways to do it, and a lot of clubs are doing it different ways. There's no one way to do it, but you need to expose them to a lot of different ways so then they work out what works best for them. But ultimately, the best players are the ones that completely drive their own program. And within that, you know, talked to you about a day in the life, but within that, the players are making a lot of decisions, around so many different factors. You know, they've got to decide what are they going to eat for lunch? You know, they've got meetings with coaches in and around that. They're giving advice to the physios about which areas to work on or not work on. So the players have got to understand their bodies really, really, really well. The ones that do are the ones that stay in the game longer.
Mm. So is there a pre-season camp planned for the Blues? Have you got that far in yet?
Yeah, we're actually going to Mooloolaba in February. So we've decided to stay at home and just do some really hard, consistent training at home and get them into really good routines at home. And then the plan is to go away and get a really good, serious block of work in before we come back and play the JLT series.
Who's impressed you the most? Who's sort of popped up quickly as a Carlton player in your eyes in pre-season?
Oh, I mean, look, in terms of leadership, Doherty hasn't had to be back yet he's done most of the sessions with the players. Coming back from his knee, he's a genuine professional, and you can see he's going to drive the standards really high, really hard within the group. Patrick Kerr's impressed me the way that he's trained. He's come back with genuine intent. De Conning, I've liked the way he's gone about it. He's always looking to do extra work, so he's impressed me. Zach Fisher. He's got a really good training ethic. Wietering's come back with a really strong appetite for the work. Wants to get better. Wants to improve. Cam Paulson. He really genuinely, loves the work and wants to know which areas to improve his game. I mean, there's a lot of guys there that come back with a great attitude, and then the guys coming into the club, McGovern seems really motivated and wanting to be part of something special at Carlton. Harry Mackay, he's done every session so far. He's raw, but he's showing some good stuff.
I've heard you talk before, Andrew, in media briefings about the significance and the importance of raw numbers of players being on the track for pre-season, and that you can almost look towards the back end of the year to work out how fit and healthy you're going to be based on how many you've had on the track. Are Carlton largely healthy in that area?
We're largely healthy. What we've got at the moment is we've got a group of players who are reconditioning again, coming back from injury at the back end of the season. So, we probably only had four or five players today not doing any ball work today. So that's healthy, but we've got a number of players who are probably two or three weeks away from getting into full training. Mm. They need to readapt to ball work, which is not unusual at this time of year for any group, any AFL group.
What about high performance more broadly, Andrew? Do you take a keen look over other sports? Cricket Australia are looking for a new one. I said at the intro, it sort of feels like the area of high performance in Australian sport has never been more closely looked after.
To be honest, I haven't really taken much notice of the cricket. It's not a sport that I'm that interested in. And I really focus on what I do in the world that I'm in. I do look beyond football, but more from a physiology, strength, speed and power perspective, than a sport like cricket. Obviously you can obviously get something from every elite sport, but it's not a sport that I've spent time in. I'd rather be looking at a team-based sports or physiology-based sports.
Andrew, it's been a pleasure having you on. I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be gobsmacked by the intricacies of your job day-to-day, and it was intriguing looking at and hearing from you about just your day-to-day.